Similar regulations have also been applied in Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara, which prohibit the use of bottled water and plastic in a number of areas to encourage sustainable tourism. The Ministry of Transportation is reviewing domestic airfares in view of rising airlines' operational costs. During a hearing with Commission 5 of the House of Representatives, which oversees infrastructure and transportation, here on Thursday, the Ministry Director General of Air Transportation, Lukman F. Liza, said the evaluation is necessary due to increased airline maintenance costs. And that was the news. Voice listeners, still here in Indonesia today with your host Ray. We have like 3 hours more accompanying me for today's Indonesia broadcast. Not broadcast, more like program in Indonesia today. So, voice listener, before I continue with the song, I would like to share some information about 5 orangutans returned to Central Kalimantan's National Park. So, Palangkaraya, Kalimantan. The Central Kalimantan Natural Resources Conservation Agency and conservation partners have released 5 orangutans back into the wild at Bukit Baka, Bukit Raya National Park. The 5 orangutans, released comprising 3 females and 2 males, had completed an extensive rehabilitation process at Nyaru Menteng Orangutan Rehabilitation Center and were declared ready to return to their natural habitat. So, Gaddafi emphasized that the release program is not just a routine conservation effort, but also a moral, ecological, and constitutional responsibility to preserve biodiversity. He stated that releasing wildlife is crucial for achieving equitable and sustainable national development, where wildlife protection and habitat restoration must be strengthened alongside community welfare and ecosystem sustainability. Central Kalimantan Governor Agustiar Sabran remarked that releasing orangutan is not only about returning animals to their habitat, but also demonstrates a strong commitment to preserving Central Kalimantan's natural heritage. Enough of that information, voice listener, and let's hope the best for the natural heritage of Central Kalimantan also. Of course, a forest also needs a rain, just like a song from Payung Teduh untuk perempuan yang sedang dalam pelukan, to like enjoy the rainy days for today also.
rasa gelap berjatuh. Di ujung malam menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya. Pasan di tengah pelariannya di malam hari menuju pagi, sedikit cemas, banyak
Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fredela. Thank you for listening.
Boy listener, after this, you will listen to an interview with Dalet Bane on Velak 2025. Want to know more? Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, today here in our studio we have two very important persons from Bogota, Colombia, and also from Chile. I will introduce on my left is Richard Amblin, Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to our studio.
Thank you. Excellent to be here.
And the other one is Joaquin Aguilera from Chile. How are you?
Really fine. Thank you for your invitation.
Welcome to our studio. And they are here in Jakarta today. I'm for a few days or maybe 1 or 2 weeks. How long have you been here?
No. We arrived on Saturday and we are leaving tomorrow.
Saturday and leaving tomorrow. So almost...
4 days.
I lost count. Well,
4 days. Yes, we've been losing count because of jet lag. Hi.
So my colleagues here are from the Forum for East Asia Latin America Cooperation, organized by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. And today we are going to talk about just a lighter conversation. I think we'll talk about your experience here, and then we will talk a little bit about our places of working, media. Mm-hmm. How is the media growing today? Because as we know that there are some medias in the in some parts of the world are shutting down because of financial problem. But we don't want to hear it today here in the studio, right? You agree with me? Okay, first I will go to Richard. Okay, Richard, you have been here for 4 days. So what do you get from the visit for these 4 days?
Well, I think that there are a lot of similarities because both Colombia, the country where I'm a resident of and I run a media company, and Indonesia are all both pretty much on the same equatorial line. So in terms of a lot of the food diversity that I see on the streets of Indonesia, they might go by a different name, the fruits and the foods, but there are a lot, we have a lot in common in terms of the coffee, for example. Indonesia is a major exporter of coffee, the cacao, the chocolate. When you go into villages in Indonesia, you see this abundance of vegetables and fruits that are harvested locally, and it's something very similar to what we see in Colombia. So I think the connection between people and land is very important. Mm-hmm. I see a very highly organized society in Indonesia. Both capitals, Bogota and Jakarta, have large populations. And so traffic and mobility becomes very difficult. But overall, I see a good management of the flow of vehicles. You have a very good grid transportation railway infrastructure, great highways. That so even though people may complain about the speed of traffic, it works. And I see a highly developed country that is playing a major role in Southeast Asia in terms of attracting investment, enterprise. And I think in Colombia, we have a lot to learn from what we see in the Indonesian model, because you have a very large population. And even though we're not that big, we're only 44 million, but there's a lot that we can learn from Indonesia.
44 million is less than the Java population.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jakarta alone, during the working day, there are around 10 to 12 million people coming here. And during that night, maybe it's around 9 to 10 million people stay in Jakarta. Okay, so before I move to Joaquin Aguilera, I love coffee very much. I would like to... Did you try the Indonesian coffee?
Well, I think so, because I think that what I'm being served has to come from Indonesia.
Okay.
I know it's a much stronger coffee than the Colombian, but it's got a big reputation internationally. Indonesia is known for its Sumatra blends, and, you know, it's pretty much available worldwide. It's hard not to see Sumatra blend or Java blends in international coffee houses. So it's you have a big global image in terms of coffee production, like Colombia, but we have very different type of coffee.
Okay, do you think that the Colombian coffee is stronger or
no? It's very mild. Colombia has the almost exclusive rights worldwide for a bean called the Arabica.
Okay.
And the Arabica bean is a very mild bean. They always, you know, if you remember the campaigns with Juan Valdez and the coffee mule, it's always about the smoothness of Colombian coffee. But the truth of the matter is the only thing that makes Colombian coffee unique in the coffee industry worldwide is that each bean has to be picked by hand.
Okay.
And this is something that very few countries are doing right now because of labor costs, and having to pick each bean by hand is a very labor intensive process.
Okay, labor costs. Yeah, we have just trade. Okay. And Joaquin, same, you have been here for 4 days, so how do you experience for this visit for 4 days?
Okay, so just as Richard mentioned, I think that just about staying here for a few days, we can tell that actually there's a lot of similitudes between Latin American countries and Southeast Asia. We have been in Singapore before Indonesia.
Okay.
And I think that in this world scenario, what media is every day talking about, this new global scenario about trading I'm talking about, it's very important for both Southeast Asia and Latin American countries that actually everybody should know that we are not so different. And I think that this kind of visits is really good for that. We are here with our colleagues from not only Chile and Colombia, but Paraguay, Uruguay, Peru, Mexico. So I think that that's a really good thing. Actually, just for being here, for instance, I worked in radio in my country too, and it's like a similar story because over there, Chile is a country exposed to natural disasters too, and the radio is the main media when something happens. I mean, we have big earthquakes, for instance, and the TV shut down, the digital media shut down, and the radio is still the most important media over there in that case.
That's good things from the radio, okay?
Exactly.
While the other equipment is down, but the radio is still on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the same here in Indonesia. We are like Radio Republic Indonesia. We are also part of the early warning system, as you know, that we are lying in the ring of fire. So, based on your schedule, I got from one of our friends from the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry that you visited various places here, including the electric in the Purwakarta. Okay, the powerhouse is Purwakarta.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. So, what do you see? I mean, what do you say about this powerhouse? Because this is one, big powerhouse in Indonesia.
Well, in the Sitara Reservoir, we visited the huge solar panel plant and the hydroelectric dam that provides the energy to West Java, and it's absolutely monumental. Actually, what's interesting is that, you know, a lot of countries want to make a green energy transition and have it as one of their agendas for climate change, and to reach by 2050, by, you know, according to the different United Nations standards, whether the conventions, whether they're going to do it in 2050 or 2060. But Indonesia is definitely moving forward on green energy, and this is going to be a very important part of your economy, and I think as well as giving people access to clean energy for vehicles, and I think that can make Indonesia very competitive in the electric vehicle market.
Yes.
You know, right now we're seeing kind of a domination in global trade of Elon Musk's Tesla, and we saw what happened to shares around the world when he joined Trump as an advisor, and how Tesla shares have crashed a lot around Europe. But this can give a lot of impetus to more competition from Southeast Asian car manufacturers. I think it also makes cars more affordable, clean energy more affordable for middle-income homes. I think this is something that we all need, whether you're in Indonesia or you're in Colombia or you're in Chile, is to bridge the gaps of inequality. I think that what we're seeing, one of the major problems we face in Latin America is corruption.
Oh.
And corruption at a political level has become endemic, has become almost accepted form of governance. And it's very sad, because instead of these resources being invested in providing better health care, providing better living conditions for vulnerable populations, instead of really trying to bridge the social inequality gap, the money's just being fueled out of the economy. So I think anything that has to do with improving the welfare of people, I think that's where government should be going, and that's where the clean energy transition can help.
Okay, good. I also want to hear from Hogan.
Yes, I think actually that the clean energy efforts are actually another point of similitude between Latin America and Southeast Asia, in this case, Indonesia. Because of in Chile, we more than the half that the electrical consumption is from clean energies, because of we have this really dry desert, so we have a lot of solar plants, we have a lot of eolic energy too. But even when we have all of these natural resources, maybe we're not putting these projects in such a priority as you are. So maybe you have a bigger consumption of carbon or fuel-based energy, but you're actually putting this in a priority list. So I think that maybe our countries can actually learn for the about the strategic place that you're giving to this, because you're making a big project like this one that we're talking about, and you made it in just 10 years. Mm-hmm. Considering both project planification and actual building. So I think that that's a real good example to countries that have better resources, but maybe not that strategic planification.
Okay, so yeah, we know that Indonesia is working on the to reach its 32% of net zero emission. Mm-hmm. Hope it will be, it will come true.
It's an ambitious goal.
Yeah, it's an ambitious goal. Mm-hmm. And they're working also to promote more the use of the EV, electric vehicle. Like you, if you are here in Jakarta for these days, so I think you found that many cars on the roads are already EV kinds mm-hmm. of EV.
And motorcycles too.
Yeah, and motorcycles too. Okay, we have, we call it OJEC. Okay. It's kind of the online taxi for the motorbike. So let's talk about our function media, Richard and Joaquin. Okay, talking about green energy, net zero emission side. So how potential is, the media in your country, back to your country, Colombia and Chile, to educate the people on your country to understand, okay, green energy, net zero emissions, this is very important, and this is our, homework together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think media has to have a social role. I think that unfortunately, because the media ecosystem is shrinking due to financial problems, a lot now of what's being spread about the importance of conservation efforts. We just hosted this year in Cali, Colombia, the big COP16 environmental conference, and it was a big global attendees around the world. A lot of what we were seeing about the process of educating people about protecting the environment. Colombia is the second most biodiverse country on the planet. We have more than 4,000 species of birds. We are home to a massive biodiversity. It's done by more or less independent media. A lot of, I would even say, good as far as the social media plays a very important role in reaching young people with these messages. I think that the role of the big traditional media now in trying to educate populations is not very strong, because first of all, a lot of the vulnerable populations or people that need to conserve the environment in regions of Colombia where there is deforestation, where there are illegal gold extraction, they're not reading newspapers anyway. Newspapers tend to be localized very much in large urban centers, and so when you want to reach these rural populations, these vulnerable people in remote areas or along the Pacific coast, on the Caribbean, it's the social media that's reaching more people, and radio once again. It seems to be that continues to be the main source of spreading efforts to news and stories to people about important conservation initiatives. It's not the traditional press.
Okay.
Yes, I think that I agree that media is unfortunately not so strong that maybe it was like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, especially newspapers or media that are more specialized in things like this. But nevertheless, I think that every effort is welcome, and papers should have to every day talk about, maybe the business environment, if actually the clean energy projects are not getting on the time that they have to get, we have to talk about that. If we are having problems with the development, we have to talk about that. And if government is not actually reaching their plans, we have to talk about that. And I think that media still has an important role on that side. But I think that the public investment is the main game changer here. We have to educate on social media, on television, and mostly the massive media consumption.
Okay. So before we come to the end of this conversation, Richard and Joaquin, I would like to know a little bit about this program. So which part of this program, I mean, provided by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, that most impressed you after the 4 days here? Who first? Richard?
Well, okay, sorry. About the entire program, I think that it's not about monuments, nor buildings, nor architecture. I think what has really impressed me about being in Indonesia is the hospitality and the kindness of the Indonesian people. I mean, you can have fantastic historical sites anywhere in the world, beautiful volcanoes, lakes, rivers, mountains. But what has really impressed me is the warmth and the generosity and the kindness of the people of Indonesia, besides the exceptional food, right? So one thing I'm really going to miss when I get home is the Indonesian kind of cooking. And the satays and the nasi gorengs and exactly. I have to make sure that I keep that alive in my home and in my memories.
Okay.
Well, in the Pacific, I was really impressed about the huge effort that you're making on investing in this kind of projects about clean energy and the commitment that you have with that. But I agree with Richard that the special thing about being in Jakarta, it's like to experience the walking in the streets, the food, and everything. That it's like, as I'd say at first, it's really not that different about Latin America. We have a lot of similitudes. We are across the sea. It's a long flight, but I think that everybody should know that we're not so different, and we have actually a lot of opportunities for cooperation.
Okay. The last one is, that's the camera. Just for a short message to our friends, journalists out there, especially from the Latin America, what you want to say to them about this program?
This is a fantastic program. It's given me an opportunity to engage here with Indonesia. And I wish everybody, I wish that we can bridge the great divides and perceptions that we have amongst us, and build more cooperation, engagement between Latin America and Indonesia.
Yes, I'm really grateful about this invitation. I hope that a lot of journalists from Latin America maybe could visit in this program or by themselves, Southeast Asia. It's a place you need to know. And I hope, too, that maybe a lot of you, colleague journalists from here, should know Chile and all our other Latin American countries.
Okay, thank you, Richard, and also Joaquin. Okay, dear friends, that's my colleague here, Richard from Colombia, and Joaquin from Chile, about their experience visiting Indonesia for 4 days. And then I hope next year is your turn. I'm Dalat Pane. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a beautiful keroncong piece titled Bunga Abadi or Eternal Flower, performed by Ayub Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group. The song, written and originally performed by Rio Clappy, was released on March 1, 2024. The song tells a heartfelt story about meeting someone truly special. Through the song, Rio Clappy celebrates the magic of love and expresses gratitude for the people who bring joy and meaning to our lives. It's a gentle reminder to cherish the relationship we hold dear and embrace the true essence of love. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Ayu Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group with Bunga Abadi. Happy listening.
sehari yang ku petik untuknya.
Kepada yang ku hormati di sana, ku sampaikan salam ini untuk mengakhirkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku, berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nawainu. Semesta riang, tersenyum merekah, lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu mengharap. Di sana riang ayunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Bina, bina retropolis, kau mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku pinggan terkenan berlihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh pujangga. Kunda dalam hati terbesi dalam air dan api. Nadamu akan selalu menjadi warna hidupku. Mari bernyanyi bersama dalam sedih senang yang ayunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat, ingat retropolis, mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku pegang terkenal melihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh pujangga.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kasolami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasolami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasolami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasolami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasolami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasolamis. Kasolami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasolami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasolami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasolami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa ku tuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. sinar di malam badai. Nyanyikan lagu yang kau suka, maka kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang kau rasa. Itu aku.
RRA Digital with new look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
As Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage, because of its refreshing presentation. But there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make escampol claret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Claret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol claret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapé. For one bowl of escampol claret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Ku temukan